This is the Woodland Hills Family Church podcast. Our desire is to inspire you and your family to become fully devoted followers of Christ. Now enjoy today's message with Ted Cunningham.
We take a pause in our series on the Sermon on the Mount, the greatest sermon ever, and we're going to do a three-week marriage series for the rest of February. And we're excited about this because we've said for years at our church, every marriage is a duet in need of great backup singers. And this church desires to be a great backup singer to the duets of our church and community. And what we're going to do for the next 3 weeks is go through a lot of the content that was developed over 25 years ago by Dr. Gary Smalley when he started the Marriage Intensive Program here in Branson, Missouri. If you're unfamiliar with the intensive program, Gary had a passion, and along with his son Greg, they wanted to see couples who have separated, divorced, or filed the paperwork, invite them to Branson to spend a week, and let's see the miracles that God can do in these marriages. And we've had thousands of couples go through these marriage intensive programs over the last few decades, and now they host them here in Branson, which is, I call Branson the mothership, but we also do them in Rome, Georgia, up in Michigan, down in Wimberley, Texas, and over just outside of Phoenix, Arizona. And the success rate, when they call back to couples who've been through the intensive program, and just so you know, again, it's couples who've separated, divorced, or filed the paperwork. When they call back 2 years later, they call every couple 2 years later to check in on them, the success rate with the intensive program is right at about 80%. And we define success as couples staying together, and we hear things like this all the time. We didn't know marriage could be this good. We didn't realize that we could enjoy life together like we are right now, and we've never experienced this, even in the dating and engagement years for many. If you're not married and considering marriage, this series is very important for you as you prepare to think through what married life looks like for you. If you're single and staying single, we have many widows and widowers in our church who have felt now called to that season of life. And we want you to tune in, lean into this series so that you can be a great backup singer to the duets in your family and in your circle of influence. So what we're going to do this week, I'm going to kick off the Marriage 911 program at our church. Comes out of the Marriage Intensive program, the same content, but we have about 50 marriage mentors in our church that work with couples. And right now, there is a waiting list, people who are looking for help with their marriage. Every one of our mentors is meeting with someone currently. And so I'll talk to you more about opportunities for that at the end of the message. And so we're going to cover nine lies, nine love lies, and nine love truths. I'm going to cover the first three today. Excited for next Sunday, Dr. Greg Smalley, the son of Gary Smalley, will be here covering lies and truths 4 through 6. And then Travis Bronner will close out the series with lies 7 through 9. So we're going to jump in today. And by the end of this series, this is what I love. You are going to know exactly what Marriage 911 teaches. So yes, we encourage you to share this program that at our church with your family and friends, but we also want you to be equipped at that dinner, at that breakfast, at that family gathering, at the Christmas or Thanksgiving party. When you hear of a family member in crisis, that you will have the language, the theology that goes with it to encourage the couples, the duets, and to be a great backup singer to them. So let's jump into love lie number one today as we talk about deep friendship. Marriage should be happily ever after. Okay, you find the right person and it's smooth sailing from there, and all God's people said. Okay. And we've fallen for this idea that a good match guarantees marital satisfaction, but that's not true. A good match is a good start, but it does not guarantee enjoying life together. You have to be intentional as the years go on. So if we're not happy, or if we're going through a difficult season or stage of life, there must be a significant problem. But here is the truth, and it's where we start in this series. Love truth number one. God created marriage for you to experience a deep friendship with your lifelong journeying partner. It's why I love the word picture we get in Genesis chapter 2. that the bone was taken out of Adam's side. Martin Luther said God could have taken a bone from Adam's head, implying that women would rule over men. Could have taken a bone out of Adam's foot, implying that men would rule over women. But he took a bone from Adam's side, and yes, it implies equality, mutual respect, but the word picture we're going with today is this lifelong journeying partner, someone walking side by side with you through the grind of life, someone walking side by side with you through the difficult seasons and stages of life, filled, and it's a relationship filled with meaning and purpose. Marriage brings you a spouse that you get to go side by side with, and we've been using this term a lot this year, and to go on mission with. You're on mission together. Now, there's this idea that's been floating around the church for a long time, and it's bad theology. It's a misunderstanding of an author's book from about 30 years ago, and it's this idea that marriage is about your holiness, not happiness. Right? Your marriage is supposed to make you a better person, but you shouldn't be happy. Like in the idea, if it's not even in word, it's in tone, that God gave your spouse to beat you down, to suck the life right out of you, so you can be more like Jesus. I want to give you the reminder today, and we've been talking about this a lot too at this church, we have to get good at holding two things in our hand at the same time. And yes, marriage has made me stronger, but it has also brought great joy to my life. And I don't have to choose between holiness and happiness. I can have both at the exact same time. And this idea of going on mission with someone, young people, you live in a culture and there's a lot of influencers out there telling you that there's absolutely no benefit to married life, and they are wrong. The research shows, and I encourage you to dig in, a great book would be Brad Wilcox's book, Get Married. And again, we don't encourage people to rush marriage, but married people are, according to the research, happier, healthier, wealthier. You know why? Because you can get married and build something together. The idea today is that you wait to get married until you've made something of your life. No, God gives you marriage so that you have a journeying partner to go through life with. Look at what it says in Ecclesiastes 4, 9, and 10. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. Marriage makes you more productive. Marriage allows you to get more done. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. I love that. And I know some of you joke, because I joke with Amy sometimes when I'm trying to help her through a difficult path, maybe an icy path. And I'm like, if you go down, don't take me with you, right? But how many of you are grateful that when you've had a difficult season or stage, you've had someone to walk alongside you through that, to help you up? But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. And I am probably not healthy with this, but I love watching videos of people falling. I can't get enough of them. And you only laugh when you know they didn't get hurt. But this one of a couple trying to get in their car with a crock pot on a slopey, icy driveway will always be my favorite. Don't forget the crock pot. Here it goes. Good job, man. The daughter that's standing in the garage laughing and filming instead of helping. Now that is a good...
Bye.
Was that guy steady or what? What kind of shoes were he wearing? So anyway, but then I love this one. You watch your spouse fall and you learn nothing from it. This is a much quicker video. Watch this. Ha, ha, ha. He's like, I saw what just happened. I'll do the same thing. Here we go. And look, he didn't drop his coffee. That's what I was impressed with. All right, no broken bones. I just want to encourage all married couples, dating engaged couples, thank each other this week for being there during the difficult times, the difficult seasons. A journeying partner filled with meaning and purpose. Love lie number two. Once two individuals become one in marriage, they cease being the two individuals and the priority becomes the marriage relationship. Now, Bob Paul has been with Hope Restored, the marriage intensive program in Branson, for a couple of decades now. And his passion in life is this next illustration. And about 20 years ago, I performed his daughter's wedding at the College of the Ozarks Chapel. And I went there on a Friday night to do the rehearsal. And as I'm doing the rehearsal, everything went well and smooth. And Bob's a friend and has been a friend for years. And when the first run-through was done, Bob called me to the side and he goes, can I talk to you for just a second? He said, I'm all for the unity candle. Now, young people, I have to explain to you what this is because you don't see this at weddings anymore. This is the unity candle illustration that was a part of it. Now you're doing sand art. You're doing, one couple made me do a puzzle at their wedding. And guess what? I couldn't function. I couldn't get the puzzle put together. And their marriage didn't last. So I just want to tell you, no, I don't. They're doing great. But just let's get back to the unity candle. I love the unity candle. But Bob said, do me a favor. And if you're, he said, Ted, I have one tweak, just one tweak that many of us, you know, we've fallen in line with this for years, but I need you to change something. And if you're unfamiliar with this, the mom of the bride and the mom of the groom walk down. It's one of the first things before the processional. They step up to the platform, and mom of the groom will light the one candle here. This is representing the spiritual journey of her son. Then over here, the mother of the bride will light this one, representing the spiritual journey of her daughter. It's pretty emotional if you've been to some of these, and they step down because they know what's about to take place. Then we do the welcome, and we have a message, and we exchange vows and rings. And at some point in the ceremony, they represent Genesis 2:24 with this right here. They bring these two candles together to light this bigger candle representing two becoming one. Bob said, do me a favor, Ted. It's at this point in the ceremony that a lot of people blow out the individual candles. Just do me a favor and don't allow them to blow those candles out. And here's why. This is the truth, and this is a passion of Bob's. There are three essential components in every marriage. The man and the man's spiritual journey, the woman, her spiritual journey, and the relationship, the marriage journey represented by this bigger candle. When all three are nurtured and protected, you and your spouse will experience the joy and beauty of marriage as God designed it. In other words, these are the three spiritual journeys that start the new home. The husband's spiritual journey, the wife's spiritual journey, and the marriage journey. One of my favorite things to do in a ceremony is to say, in one day, you're going to have a bunch of little candles running around your house. And what I want to remind you of is they're going to be watching all through. This is the fourth spiritual journey. They're going to be watching all of these journeys of mom and dad and how they're growing in the Lord. And they're going to have a front row seat to your marriage. Man, that gets me every time. Those are fast-burning little candles right there. Blow them out and send them to bed. That's what I say. They saw enough. Get out of here. You know why I don't get too worked up over culture and schools and even videos, movies, all that? Do all those have an influence on the life of your kid? Absolutely. And we need to guard, as we talked about last week, guard our hearts and minds, eyes, all of that. But mom and dad, please don't ever forget, you are the primary influence and voice in the life of your child. They have a front row seat, thousands and thousands and thousands of hours sitting there watching these journeys. Okay, Bob Paul says it this way, if I can add to it. Of the three components of marriage, husband, wife, relationship, only two are eternal, the husband and the wife. Jesus made it clear in two of the Gospels that we won't be married in heaven, but hopefully both people will be there. And Jesus came to save people, not marriages. And please hear what he says there. If we make the relationship more important than the people, we are out of line with the Lord. The marriage needs to support and assist the eternal beings who are God's precious children and are meant to live with him forever. And we saw this in our message last week when we looked at Jesus quoting the Imago Dei in Genesis 1 and Genesis 2 in Matthew 19. He quoted Genesis 2:24, that this is why a man leaves his father and mother. And what Jesus is going to be quoting here from Genesis is the idea of unity in this two becoming one. That the bond, according to the first half of Genesis 2:24, the bond between a parent and a child is not to be forever. They are supposed to learn and grow in relationship with mom and dad, but then they are to leave and go start their own homes. They start their own homes with their own spiritual journey, married to a spouse with their spiritual journey, and those two become one. They become one flesh. The bond between a husband and a wife is glue-like. And this is the key for us to nurture all three relationships. And let's just acknowledge for a moment in here. Some of you are in a marriage where one spouse gave up. You're like, well, what do I do? Well, I'm going to start by telling you, you keep pursuing the Lord. You keep growing in your relationship with the Lord. Let your light shine bright. Hide it under a bushel? No. Let it grow. Some of and we see this a lot, right? Men not pursuing the Lord, men not growing in their relationship. They don't do Bible study. And then this person goes to a K. Arthur Bethmore Bible study, you know, four times a week, and their flame is like over here. And it can become a spiritually mismatched home. So what's the solution? Both husband and wife following after Jesus and nurturing their marriage relationship. Let your kids see three spiritual journeys ahead of them that are on fire for the Lord. Love lie number three. True love is either about chemistry or character. So here's a great way I want you to answer this if you ever ask this question. If someone asks you, is love a feeling or is love a decision? The answer is yes. You know, it frustrates people. It's a lot of fun. It helps you poke the bear a little bit. Yes, it's both. It is a feeling. It's that feel good. Again, some of you get what I'm talking about with the sparks. You're in that early relationship formation and just all that feel good going on. Then we're not down on that at this church. But we also know love is a decision. And there are times you're not feeling it. And you have to rely on the decision that you made. There is a song right now out. I can't get enough of it. I've probably heard the thing 100 times this week by Brandon Lake called Hard Fought Hallelujah. And if you get time today, just look up this song, listen to it on iTunes or whatever your music platform is. There is a lyric in this song. It should be a book, maybe a series one day for us. The whole song's about this idea. I don't have it in me right now to worship. I'm going through a difficult season. My arms are too weak to even raise in worship. I'm not feeling it. But you know what he says? This is one of the best lyrics in the whole song. He says, but I will sing until my soul catches up with my song. Isn't that a great lyric? That's great understanding for when we talk about relationships. I know the decision I made with Amy Cunningham, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, until the Lord returns or calls one of us home. And I rely on that on days when we're not feeling it. But I also love the feeling. Who loves the feeling? You lost that love and feel. I mean, that's why we like music, right? Music gives us that feeling. But love is a decision and it's a feeling. Love, truth. Number three, this is what they say. True love includes both a wonderful feeling, chemistry, and an intentional act of the human will, character. We say at this church, though, character trumps chemistry, okay? Real love happens when you invite God into your heart and allow his love to flow out of you into your spouse. We say it all the time around here. Jesus is your source. Satan is your enemy. Your spouse is your companion. And if you want to experience high levels of marital satisfaction, never treat your spouse like the source or the enemy. Your spouse is your companion, side by side through the grind of life, walking together through life. And your job is not to look to your spouse to be your source and then point to them when you're not feeling this or not feeling that. Your job is to stay connected to the true and only source of life and keep your flame lit. That's your job. We read in 1 John chapter 4, 7 and 11, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. He is the source. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another." You stay connected to the true and only source and give your spouse the overflow. Jesus says in John 15, puts it this way, "I am the vine, you are the branches." So we want to stay connected to him. "If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love." I saw this illustration last weekend from Brian Laritz, and I thought it was brilliant, and I told him so. I said, "I'm going to be using that next Sunday." Because in this tea glass right here, I've had this tea bag steeping. It's been sitting here all morning, and you can tell it's fully ready to go. This is what it means to abide in Christ. This is what the Hebrew children did. From the time they got up in the morning to the time they went to sleep at night, as they sat at home, as they walked along the way, it was all about reminding themselves of the truths. There is a God. There's only one God. He is the Lord. He is our Lord. They abided in him how? "We will love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength." They just abided in him. This is what you want to do. This is your primary responsibility as a stay connected to the source. Keep your flame lit. Abide in Christ. But here's what too many Christians are doing, and we will meet with them in Marriage 911. They can't understand why the marriage is such a struggle and why being a spouse is so difficult. It's because they're not abiding in Christ. They're just kind of dipping in him. Like, I come to church twice a month, Ted. Boom, boom. Look how effective that was. Yeah, even quiet time. I'm all for quiet times, but part of the quiet time subculture is taught you got to do 20 minutes every morning before you leave the house, and then some people do that, and then that's it. There's my quiet time. Okay, some pray before meals. This is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches to abide in Christ. We pray without ceasing. We are meditating on the Word of God all day long. Decisions we make, we are praying about it. We are allowing the Holy Spirit to convict us and rebuke us and to speak to us. We look at this, nothing is happening yet, just tiny little bit. But I just want to encourage you, husband, wife, stay connected to the source and continue to steep in Jesus. I received this text message this week from husband in our church, and I asked permission to share it, and he gave me permission. I love it. He said, "Ted, my wife and I went through Marriage 911, and it was fantastic. We are going on our 49th year of marriage, and I learned so much during our 911 journey. What we really came away with is that this course should be available for newlyweds and oldieweds." And it is. There is no age limit on this. We know that research tells us most divorces occur within the first 5 years of the wedding. Okay, so, and we know for our church, we have a lot of senior adults, widows, widowers, remarrying, and we have a lot of young people marrying. So it's not an age thing. If your marriage needs the help, that's why we have the Marriage 911. He goes on to say, "We kept thinking, I wish I would have known this when we were first married." You know how often we hear that marriage events? From senior adult couples married 30, 40 years. They come to us all the time and say, "We wish we would have learned this early on." So let me end by asking us that question. What would you say to your newlywed self? What would you say to your newlywed self? How would you coach yourself? Let's start with this real easy one. What would you say to your newlywed self about money? Some of you are like, "Get some." Stay home. Use your parents. There's a couple things I would say about money to myself. I would tell Amy and I, encourage us, get on the same page early on. Here's another one as far as two becoming one. Everything I make, Amy, is yours. I have couples ask me all the time, should we have one account or two accounts? I encourage one account when you're starting off in marriage. And I get things can get difficult with parents and other things and work and all that. But when you're young and have no money, one account will do. That's you don't have money in the Cayman Islands or Swiss accounts or anything yet. So One account will do. And if you make money, it's ours. And if she makes money, it's ours. There isn't, I earned this, this part is mine. You earned it, that part is yours. I would also say work hard, give generously, save wisely, and spend sensibly. How about this? What would you say about conflict? If I could go back and coach my newlywed self, I would say, Ted, you don't have to say everything you think. There's some stuff, and it's not secrets. It's wisdom to keep it quiet. Ted, don't ever tell Amy how to feel. Ted, don't ever blame Amy for how you feel. Right? Learn to be aligned on the big things and have fun with the little things. Not everything needs to be a fight. You don't have to show up to every fight you're invited to. What would you say about this? This is another simple one, about dividing household chores. I had a buddy call me this week from another city, and he said, Ted, I meet with 30 guys. They're kind of high-capacity guys, and so there's lots of money in this room. And I just got out of that meeting. A lot of executives, he said, and I'll be honest with you, all of them today were complaining about their wives. And he said, I told my one buddy, I go, I got a friend I'm going to call and see if he's got anything he can offer. I go, what were they complaining about? Their wives aren't doing enough around the house. And Amy's sitting next to me in the car, and I went, because she hears these calls and she gets fired up. You tell them. You let them know. And I go, well, explain what? Well, here's the problem. And this kind of ties to the other thing. He said, some of these guys, I mean, they go to work, they crush it at work, they make a ton of money. They come home and their dishes in the sink. And they're like, the least you could have done. Oh, so you were feeling what Amy was feeling there. She's like, you tell that bozo. He goes, what do you got for me, Ted? I go, here's what I tell, especially executive leaders who run big businesses. I love sharing this with them. When I say Jesus is your source, Satan is your enemy, your spouse is your companion, what I have to remind him, your spouse is your companion, not your employee. Don't ever treat your wife or your husband, if you run big business, don't ever treat them like an employee. They're not your employee. I go, but I told my friend, give them these three quick things next time you're with them. One, shut up. No, I didn't say that. No, I didn't. I'm better than that. I said, one, your way is not the only way. Two, a different way is not the wrong way. And three, don't let getting your way get in the way of a great marriage. And then this one popped up on the screen, but we ran out of time. Does anybody want to coach your newlywed self about your in-laws? We're out of time. I can't give you anything on that. So y'all had too much fun with all your Super Bowl frills and thrills around here. Here's what I would say. Boundaries with in-laws. Establish boundaries early on. You're going to become one. Leave home well, but establish boundaries early on. But don't just establish them. Communicate them often. You have to communicate them. That's fair. That's honest. That's honoring. And the third thing I would say is you create boundaries with your parents, and the Bible calls us to this, never stop honoring your mom and dad. Never stop esteeming your parents as highly valuable. Those are the first three lies and truths of Marriage 911 and the Marriage Intensive Program here in Branson. I want to tell you, we have no more capacity for a couple right now in crisis in our church or community. At times, Marriage 911 is full, and about 70% of the people in Marriage 911 don't even go to our church. They're from our community. So this is a great outreach program. And here's what we're going to ask. Make no decisions today. I just want you to commit and to pray about something. We need Marriage 911 mentors, couples who are healthy, couples who are thriving in marriage, couples that want to help other couples. We also want, listen, this is so important. I have a friend in here right now. Marriage 911 did not save his marriage, but Marriage 911 saved him. I'm just telling you, we've watched God do miracle after miracle through this program. Will you pray as a couple for the next 2 weeks if this ministry is something God's calling you to? And at the end of this series, and next week and the week after that, we're going to have a booth set up out in the lobby. If you want to stop by and learn more, meet with RG and Karen and some of the leaders, and we'll ask you at that point to sign up. But I'm going to invite you to pray with me. And as you bow your head, I want to share with you some more of the lyrics of the hard-fought Hallelujah. This is the chorus. And some of you, this is your story as you've gone through a painful or crisis marriage. Some of you, this is your story as you've gone through the divorce, as we looked at last week, and you're in recovery from that, and You're maybe in a marriage struggling and maybe in a marriage healthy, but you can relate to these words. And I'll close with this. I'll bring my hard-fought, heartfelt, been through hell, hallelujah. And I'll bring my storm-tossed, torn sail story to tell, hallelujah. And people in this church have stories to tell from their marriage. Why? Because God, you've been patient. God, you've been gracious, faithful, whatever I'm feeling or facing. So I'll bring my hard-fought, heartfelt, it is well, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for the one right now in crisis that they would begin to steep in Jesus, abiding in Christ, so that, and they can say right now, they have no fruit. They don't display love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, faith, self-control. That is not any of the fruit coming out of them. That today they would connect to Jesus as the true and only source of life, and that they would give the overflow of that life to their spouse, no longer blaming their spouse for how they feel, but moving forward in their relationship with Jesus. Thank you for all the mentors in our church that work with couples, that they would be encouraged, that they would continue to stay in the fight, knowing how important marriage is to you, to this church, to this community, to our nation and the world. And I just pray for the one right now who's not feeling it at all, that today they won't stop singing, they won't stop praising, they won't stop confessing you as Lord of their life, but they will keep singing until their soul catches up. We pray all this in the authority of the name of Jesus. And everyone agreed and said, amen.